Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and baby, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah! Yakuza Kick Radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
This is Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one of his cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. How?
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, November 6, 2013. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, Jake Amores. Normally, I had a CZW show on Saturday. Normally, this would definitely be the show where I would be reviewing said CZW show. Unfortunately, I can't do that. Did not watch the show. Not by choice. I would have gladly watched the show, and I will watch the show. One way or another, I will definitely review that show next week on this show. Computer's still fucked up. Had several people that were going to send me discs, and, things happen. So it took a little longer than expected, and more or less, like, I need the disc to restart my whole computer, like, pretty much erase everything, restart the shit, and, you know, whatnot. But yeah, I'm all sorts of annoyed by it. It's over 2 weeks now, and I've been saying the same goddamn thing on the show. You know, week in, week out, my computer's fucked up, and got it, da-da-da. So, Eminem's new album came out. I'm hearing this and that about it, but I can't get it because I ain't on the computer. So, bunch of shit. On the Facebook and whatever, through the iPad, but you really can only do so much. You can't upload, you can't download. So, very, very limited, and I'm beyond frustrated. I'm well over 2 weeks behind on all podcasts, on all the Stern Show stuff, because I get that off the internet. And, just really, really frustrated with it. So, it is what it is. Still got some stuff to talk about. Actually, I might have somebody calling in a little bit. Before that, I guess I'll get into a few different things. I've been definitely hitting the gym this week more so than, definitely have a good start to the week, I should say. Monday I did the arm thing. Tuesday did the leg thing. So legs are sore as fuck right now. And then I saw something online that somebody had posted on their wall, some kind of like crunch challenge, like ab crunch challenge and shit. And I've never been like a crunch dude. I've never been into them really. I don't know why. I just never really got into crunches that much, you know, here and there, but just never did them regularly. And, yeah, I do a lot of plankings and the planking exercises, variations of that. Then the ab machines and shit like that, but I never really got into it. So I was like, yeah, let me see what this is all about. And it had like, you know, day one, do 30 crunches. Day two, do 60 crunches, you know, like shit like this. And then you do it for like 4 days. I think they'd take a day off and then go back to whatever. So I just decided, I'm like, all right, fuck it. I'm more or less going to use this schedule, you know, just so they could tell me which days to take off. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, Monday through today, I did 200 a day. And then I'll take the days off that they tell me to take off, and I'll just keep doing that. And, you know, I'll see what, you know, in a month what kind of progress it makes. Which I'm sure it's kind of retarded for me to even say that shit because what kind of progress is it going to make? Probably more so than not doing it at all. So, yeah. But, yeah, good start to the gym week. You know, take off today and you know, back tomorrow, do the thing. I'm going to train for just, you know, regular racing 5K, just running thing. That's on Thanksgiving. I took Thanksgiving off, so normally I work like a half-day joint. But, you know, I'm going to go like 8:30 in the morning, go, and I'm really going to try to, like, speed this fucking 5K, like, just bust ass. And, you know, see how well I could do, you know, because, I don't know. The breathing's a lot better in this type of weather. And just haven't done any, you know, run work since Tough Mudder, more or less, you know. Like I said, did some gym stuff and all that, but I got to get back on the running thing. So, yeah, I'm going to see what I could do there. Yeah, I'll keep everybody updated. So anyway, let me see. Still ain't got nobody calling in. Let me see. Just give me 1 second. All right, well, anyway, a couple different things I wanted to talk about. A lot of them have to do along the lines of racism. One, you know, football-related thing a lot of people are talking about. And let me see. What the fuck did I just do? Trying to, you know, operate the show on the fucking iPad's retarded. All right. This dude... Richie Incognito, Miami Dolphins, he's an offensive lineman. And you got another dude, another offensive lineman, Jonathan Martin. This dude is, you know, it's basically this Richie Incognito guy. He's a big-ass meathead white dude. And then the other guy is, you know, he's mixed or whatever. So, and I guess he's 2 years into the league. So, like, a bunch of stuff was happening with this dude. And, you know, I mean, they say, you know, early in the league, there is a lot of, like, hazing type shit, which, you know, some of it comes to territory, you know, breaking people in and this and that, making them pick up the tab, you know, just bullshit like that. And, you know, completely understandable. Nothing that I would just consider, you know, oh, you know, these guys need to. So, I guess the dude was doing some form of complaining on Twitter or something about it. In which case, this other dude, Richie Incognito, left like a voicemail and shit. And it said something along the lines like, yeah, I see you on Twitter. And he called him a half nigger piece of shit. And he said he wants to shit in his mouth. And then he wants to slap his mother. And then and he'll kill him and all this other shit. So, the dude went to, like, you know, went more or less told on him and shit. And, you know, I mean, a lot of people are, you know, with the backlash and calling him soft and this and this. And, you know, so obviously action's been taken. Dude's been indefinitely suspended or whatever. And, that's what happened there. Now, I mean, as far as I'm concerned... Like I said, the normal hazing, the making dudes pick up tabs and all that stuff, it is what it is there. But for to go the route that the dude did, especially on record, you know, where you're out there as an actual, you know, there's tape of you saying the shit and doing the shit. It's crossing the line. And the thing is there, what do you expect a dude to do, a grown-ass man to do? You're either going to take some kind of action, you know, you're either going to go try to fuck this dude up because he just said he's going to smack your mom and shit in your mouth and kill you and all this shit. Or, yeah, I mean, or worse, because we know, I mean, there's a certain tight end on the fucking New England Patriots that's, you know, doing a little prison time over some shit. So, obviously, it can go a lot worse. If you're not going to, like, get this shit taken care of, you know, he could have just went and blew the dude's brains out, said, dude, you can go smack my mom and shit, smack, you know what I mean? There's things that could have happened coming off of that that wouldn't have been so, you know, so good for the league or however you want to say it. But him going and just going like, yo, I can't take this shit. Now, since then, this Martin dude, he's also checked into a hospital for, like, mental instability and, like, some kind of emotional breakdown and depression and shit like this. Right there it says one thing. I mean, I know, you know, gut reaction for a lot of people is just like, he's soft, he's a bitch, oh, he's melting down, oh, poor baby, you got money and this and that. Yo, I mean, maybe his head was fucked up. And again, you could kind of thank God that this dude, that his head was all fucked up, didn't just go blow the dude's brains out, because it's that easy to do. It's just as simple to make a horrible decision and end somebody's life or your own or some shit like this over just something that just triggers you. And especially if someone's saying they're going to smack your mom and shit in your mouth, might be one of those fucking triggers, you know? I don't know. I'm not that dude. But, so obviously, you know, proven even more so that the dude's unstable and can't handle this type of thing, you know, he's all checked into a hospital now and this and that. So, I don't know. To me, like I said, the dude crossed the line, and it's a subject where, you know, it's one of those things where you say the dudes are, you know, these guys got to be role models. They got to go out there and represent themselves as something that can be respected. And I know on one hand it's like, you know, no, they're big dumb athletes that happen to be talented at sports. So they shouldn't necessarily have to be role models. I mean, really, of course, the parents should be role models. Those should be the only role models in a child's life should be the parents. However, these guys are larger-than-life characters. These guys, whether it's the right thing for them to be role models or not, they are in a position where children are going to look up to them. They're larger-than-life characters. You know, if a kid's favorite team is the Dolphins, you got these big guys, you know, going at it on the screen, and, you know, every Sunday or Monday, whatever day they play. And, you know what I mean? So you're going to look at these guys as kind of like your heroes. These guys are out there fighting to win the game for your team and this and this. So they're always going to be held in high regard in that aspect. And then you have the, you know, the kids that are actually trying to be football players at whatever position that may be. They're trying to replicate what these guys are doing out there. So they're going to say, dude, I want to be as good of a lineman as fucking Incognito and shit. I want to, you know, say, you know, young kid from Miami, or just say whatever college dude went to. Or even high school, bring it back there. Like, he went to our high school. You know, we want to be like that dude. We can get out of this high school, you know, get a scholarship, and I could be playing for a team like fucking Incognito over there. You know, it's the same type of mentality that it helps to, you know, create future stars off of that drive that they can do it because this other guy did it and stuff. So when you see this type of attitude and this type of behavior being played out off the field and stuff like that, of course, it's going to make a negative impact on younger people's minds and on kids' minds and stuff. Again, their parents should be role models, not these players, but it is what it is, and these guys are going to be held in high regard. So, to me, yeah, it needs to be handled and stuff like that, and people shouldn't be doing that type of thing. It's just bullshit. Speaking of racism, I go to this one pet store over here, and I go in there and get my dog or cat food and stuff, you know, once a week or whatever. So it was somewhere around Halloween, a couple weeks before, and I noticed this toy, and I was just like, nah, like, I don't know if this thing is like some monster or something. I could kind of just see like the top of its head, over the rack. So I really didn't see completely, you know, the whole body of thing or anything like that. But I'm like, man, you know what? That dog toy just looks like a black guy. I mean, there's no fucking way that they're just making dog toys that's just like a black dude, right? Like, you know, like, they make dog toys of, you know, bones, dogs chew on a bone, you know, they make dog toys of, like, smaller animals, ducks and this and that, and, you know, and all sorts of things. You're like, oh, yeah, throw that to the dog or whatever. Yeah, just, no way is this just a black guy. So I'm like, yeah, maybe it's like a vampire or something, just shape of its head. Maybe it's not, maybe he's got like a dark complexion, but, you know, it's around Halloween. It's probably like some special edition, something or other. You know, it's probably, it can't be. So I just like, you know, a couple times I just seen it, it was just like, ah, whatever, fuck. I didn't even, you know, go and look at it any closer. A couple more times. Now, Halloween's passed now. I go in there to get cat food the other day, and I look, sure enough, now I see full fucking view of this joint. Dude, this shit, they're called Tough Guys. That's the line of dog toys. They're made by Kygen, so it's like K-Y-J-E-N, and sure enough, black dude with a mustache, some red shorts, no shirt, fucking with an angry ass look on his face. So they sell angry black eyed dog toys. And the other thing, because I was like, well, all right, I'm just trying my ass off to like, they can't be serious with this shit. I'm just like, well, maybe they're sold out of the white guy dog toys because everyone bought those ones first, and they're just got like tough guys, you know. Maybe they got like a bald, tatted up white dude. And, you know, well, this is just the one that's left on the rack or some shit like this. I'm like, no. So I go home and I look it up. And they carry three versions of this toy. They carry Hank. Actually, it's funny because they have like a backstory on this thing. They tell you like what Hank's all about. And they kind of like put in other things that would make him sound like not so much of a black guy, but, you know, like they have one that's like, yeah, you know, he has a country music record coming out next month and like all this bullshit. They try to make a backstory. But the one dude, like I said, he's got a mustache and, you know, low, like kind of like a fade. And then that guy's name is Hank. And then you click on the next one. That guy's name is Lars. Now, this guy looks like Debo. He's just got some green shorts on. He's got, like, a cock eye. He's bald. You know, no shirt again. None of them got shirts on. And then that's Lars. And I think he's the one with the country music album. This motherfucker looks like Debo. And, yeah, his true calling is ice hockey, where he was feared as the dirtiest player in Europe at the ripe age of 12. Yeah, and then he has a rustic ranch in Montana. He is pursuing a new passion as a country singer and hopes to release his first single in May of 2012. Like, they went out of their way to write shit, so it's like, no, look, he's just like the other white guys. But, and then there's Tony, who's got, like, some lopsided fro type shit, like old-school Bobby Brown shit going on his head, and he's got blue shorts on. And, yeah, this shit don't make no motherfucking sense. This guy, he's highly involved in music and joined a doo-wop band, a boy band of five harmonizing hunks. After their one hit, Layers of Love, Tony grew concerned that music wasn't manly enough, which led to his rebellion. He was eventually kicked out of his band due to constant refusal to wear a shirt. He took to the gym to work out his boy band woes and started competing in the world's strongest dude competition. He won 3 years in a row. He's still invested in competitive strength training. Today you can find him pulling buses up and down the streets of Chattanooga, Tennessee. This is the backstory of this fucking dog toy. There's three versions, like I said, and it's just three black dudes. And this is apparently what you're supposed to throw to your dog. I don't know. Trying to make dogs racist on top of the, you know, this shit is fucking crazy. I can't believe there's not like an uproar about this shit. Like, there's no like stuff on the news like, you know, hey, guys, we shouldn't be selling these angry black dude dog toys. There's no white versions. I think the company makes, like, outside of that, I've looked, and they sell, like, other things such as, like, you know, alligators or a pig or a mallard duck. But again, no other people version other than the three black dudes. So that's something else. Yeah, there's that. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be, you know, not so long of a show. I guess I was supposed to have someone call in, but if you're not going to call in, I'm not going to talk about it. It's all right. Like I said, it's not a, it wasn't really like a planned guest. Like I didn't have like, you know, full plans on it, but I got hit up about something. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure, you can come on the show and talk about it. So, you know, if it comes up, it comes up. If not, you know, we'll skip over it and, you know, move on with that. But the other thing I want to talk about is it just popped into my head the other day, and it's, you know, about the CZW promos, match, pre-match, whatever the, you know, the promos that they cut. Not the in-ring promos, but, you know, like the segments, the vignettes, whatever you want to call them. I really feel that they need to focus on location. They've done far too many, enough. Like, I honestly don't want to see another one that's just cut outside the building that they're at. Now, I know that that's the easiest, most cost-effective, laziest way that you can possibly do it. It's like, oh, okay, and, like, you hear people bumping in the back because the matches are still going on and there's fucking entrance music playing when you're in the back. Of course, that's the easiest way to do it. But, and, you know, to use an example of what I'm talking about as far as aura and location and stuff like that, like what the Briscoes do with their promos. That's perfect. That shows their character, where they're at, where they're coming from, this and that. Now, I know that, you know, it clearly didn't start with the Briscoes. I mean, this has been done for years and years and years in wrestling. And it obviously takes a little bit more, you know, effort. And I guess, you know, it could involve a little more cost. But in a day now where everybody's fucking cell phone has, like, a pretty good camera on it and can record things, and, you know, just about everyone you know has some form of iPad or something, you know, or, you know, someone you know has some kind of tablet or something that'll do some pretty good recording. I feel like these companies should be able to get the wrestlers involved in their own character as far as intensifying what you're actually putting out there, because I think the stories that you tell as far as these people being individuals, instead of just copy and paste characters that you're just, okay, here's 12 guys on a show, and now we're going to put them all in matches, and you can figure out from there. There's no, that's it, and they're supposed to form their characters from the ring to the curtain and back, and then that's it, and then cut a promo in the back of the fucking curtain, and or outside of the building. You know, like, I mean, it's kind of a stretch. It's asking for a lot from the fans to, I guess, use their imagination on what they expect the dudes to be about. Now, I don't, personally, I'm definitely not asking for, you know, a million gym promos either, because that'll get generic super quick, too. I think, you know, doing a very, very occasional one, you know, with someone stepping their game up in the gym and shit after getting, like, pushed to the limit by somebody and, you know, training for, like, a really, really big match. I could get that, but that could be overdone so quick because everyone's going to want to do that type of thing. So I'm not even talking that. I'm more talking, like, all right, well, Greg Excellent, for instance, what would prevent that dude from doing a promo in a fucking bakery? Or doing that promo in, like, a candy store. You know, find, like, one of them candy stores fucking surrounded in jelly beans and shit like this. That would be the type of thing, you know. And you cut your fucking one-minute promo or two-minute promo, whatever it is, and just your backdrop and what you're all about, that shit's going to get over like a motherfucker because, you know, and I'm sure, like, honestly, you know, you can look around your area. Obviously, nothing's going to be – not everything's going to be involved in a business or a store or something like that. But if you live in the area or something, you go where it's kind of not, you know, it's not jumping with people. I don't think they're going to throw you fucking clean out of the store. Again, you're not walking in there with, you know, the Hollywood video cameras. You're walking in there with, you know, one dude's got a fucking iPad and the other guy's got, you know, just cutting a promo at it. And then, you know, you email it to fucking DJ or whoever takes care of that shit over there. And then you put it up through that. You know, maybe someone edits it, and fucking throw the CZW logo in the bottom corner or whatever you want to do with it. You know, do something to make it creative. I mean, if a dude's supposed to be, you know, a pretty boy from the beach, go to a fucking beach and cut a promo. You know, if some dude's supposed to be, you know, rugged from the woods, go to fucking woods somewhere, cut a promo. You know, go just find a location that even looks cool that's going to stand the fuck out. Oh, you got this little, you know, overhang kind of cliff thing that's overlooking water. Go fucking stand by that shit and cut a promo. Something that gives you a backdrop that's different than the fucking arena you're wrestling in. I mean, it's just, to me, it's common sense, but, you know, obviously it does take a little more effort and thought. Creative as possible with it and make it, you know, make it count. Make that shit, you know, I mean, it's easy as fuck. You got someone who with a dark gimmick. Go fucking show up at a cemetery. Bang. Fucking, you know what I mean? I think it's easier now because, like I said, the technology, the easy access to everyone having technology and something portable and something to, you know, send a video here or send a video there. Obviously, some people are going to have access to better quality things, but you got to find out where that's at. And then within, even say, you know, hey, within a half hour drive of the arena that we're at, what can we go out and do? Even if it's on the company's, you know, camera time or whatever like that, earlier in that day, where can we hop over to? Or, you know, after the show, where can we hop over to? Maybe not after the show, we're talking too late in it. Where can we hop over to cut a couple promos, you know, stop at this place, stop at that place. Just search out locations that are going to look cool and shit. It's just, in my opinion, that would do a lot for character development. And for it to completely look like a unique product and not just, again, here's fucking, oh, you hear the announcer yelling out for fucking next match, and oh, this guy's awful fired up, all right, that's great. You know, and again, occasionally you have your dude super fired up and the camera's in his face right after the match and the shit like that, but you can only do fucking so many of those. There's like, just about every promo is the same exact way. It's like some dude's fucking heated after the match. Roar, he's in the back all pissed off because they lost. And, you know, or I get screwed over. This is bullshit. It's just like, all right, dude. It's like three of those per show. And then, you know, again, like some blank-ass room in the back, you know, cutting promos and shit. It's like these dudes live in the building they're wrestling in. It's just, it's not a believable concept. Again, I know it's easiest. I know it's the easy way out. But be fucking real with this, you know. So that's just, you know, my suggestion. You know, it's shouldn't really take much. Obviously, a little more effort. But I think it would go a long way, personally. What else? Definitely want to get into the CZW show next week. You know, even little spoilers and stuff I heard and, you know, results. I don't even want to jump on all that because, like I said, I'd rather watch it for myself and then really be able to review everything. Cage of Death is next month. Obviously, you know, they got a lot lined up for that already. A lot more to book, you know, before that. But, you know, should take shape in the coming weeks. I think because they did this one like first weekend in November, this gives like, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks between now and actual Cage of Death. So, they have quite a bit of time. So, you know, we'll see what's up with that. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break and, hit the football thing up. Oh, one more thing I wanted to talk about, actually, before I do the break thing. Another complaint I have. I have a serious issue with passive-aggressive motherfuckers on the internet. See, here's my issue with this. It's like, I don't have a problem with calling people out. I really don't, including myself. So, you know, if I do something wrong or I fuck up or, you know, I'm out of line and shit, I'll fucking to that shit. But I try to be realistic about, you know, what I'm saying or who I'm talking to or what the case is like that. Now, When I was doing, you know, my excessive drinking, you know, I'd make these crazy fucking Facebook statuses and posts and fucking all over the place pissing people off and shit. I mean, that was legitimately where I was at mentally. I was obviously pushing myself in those directions more so because I was drunk, but I think had I been in person with these same situations, these same people, it would have been the same shit, and then I'm sure it would have been a fight. Now, I couldn't guarantee you that I would win a whole lot of those fights, depending on the condition I was, which usually wasn't so great. You know what I mean? So it's not like I'm saying, yeah, then I would have beat them all up. Like, I don't know that. But, like, chances are I would have been saying the same shit to people that I had issues with, you know, when I was banged up and on the internet. But it would have turned into something, and I do understand that, and that's where I was at the time. Like, yo, fuck you, bring it on and shit. See, this is the thing, too, is because, you know, within the past, you know, 10, 15 years, the internet has taken such shape that I think a lot of people still don't realize where they're at. And it's, I mean, you're able to reach so many vast amount of people in such a small amount of effort. You can go on there and just type some shit, somebody in California or in Japan or fucking anywhere. And they'll acknowledge what you're saying or doing. So that's something you didn't have an option of doing before. But people seem to separate it from the way that they would act socially in real life. And to the extent where it's completely unreasonable. Case in point. Now, these are the type of statuses I don't like. Now, I'm pretty excessive when it comes to my football posts. You know, I'm watching football, I'm watching the Niners, I'm super into it. You know what I mean? Every time someone catches a touchdown, you're going to fucking see me post about it and shit. Because I'm amped up, and that's what I'm doing and shit. Now, I mean, maybe it's annoying to some people, right? But, I mean, I read millions of things, thousands of things on the internet, on Facebook, on people I'm friends with on Facebook that annoy the shit out of me, that I just don't like. I have no interest in it, whatever. I fucking scroll past it and move on. I don't make a point to back up off that post and not only not respond to that post, because, I mean, here and there, yeah, you'll pop on someone else's post that they're saying some shit you don't like, and then you'll respond to it saying, nah, I disagree because of this and this, or nah, fuck that bullshit, you know? But the pussy move is when people go, all right, I'm posting my football thing. Then someone goes on their wall and goes, hey, people, no need to post your football scores every time something happens. It's really not necessary. If people gave a shit, they'd probably be watching the game. And now, you're not saying that in a joking manner. There's no attempted humor, nothing like that. You're saying that shit in a passive-aggressive manner where you're not looking to come at me, but you're looking to address me through your post in a passive-aggressive bitch-ass way. See, the way I take that and the way I look at that is, now, if a whole group were hanging out, say it was a party or whatever like that, and you hear somebody talking about, oh, so let's just keep it on the same topic. They're over there talking about football, all right? And in a non-joking way, you walked up to this person and said, I don't give a fuck what you're talking about. How the fuck do you think that that's going to settle? What do you think is going to happen there? There's going to be a fight because normal people don't do that shit. Normal people don't act like that. And if you're going to go so above and beyond yourself to go out there and just be like, I don't give a fuck what you're talking about, you're obviously looking for a problem. But on the internet, it's done so vaguely and so passive-aggressively that you're not directly going at that person. And you could always retract it and say, well, I wasn't talking about you. And in the same token, you're being a dickhead. And it's just behind a computer, so again, everything's safe. No one's going to punch you in your mouth for being a dick. I can't stand that shit because it's so indirect. It's so passive-aggressive. You know who you're talking to. You clearly, it didn't just like pop in your head and you're like, oh, I have no idea who's doing this, but I got to get this thought out there. No, you're like, you see somebody posting this shit like me, and then you're like, all right, I got to go out there and I got to post some shit that's going to get at him But I'm not directly talking about him, so maybe he won't be mad at me, and maybe he'll just take it to heart and change his ways. Like, I don't know what the fuck your goal is, other than just going out there to be a dickhead. And I see a lot of people, it's not even all about me, because I see a lot of people do this shit, and I don't know who the fuck they're talking about, but I'm like, when these passive-aggressive posts, the first thing you do is you run, like, a little quick thing through your mind, like, oh, no, that shit couldn't apply to me at all. And then you sit there and go, well, he must be talking about fucking somebody. And, I mean, clearly doesn't want to call him out. However, you know, he's got to make this fucking statement, or she's got to make this statement in order to get it across. I mean, it's a bitch move. It really is. Like, you got a problem with somebody, address them. I mean, if you want to shout, you want to call somebody out to mention their fucking name on a shit. Or say it on their post or some shit like that. But again, I mean, kind of, put it in perspective of what you would and wouldn't do to their face. You know, and it's not even like, I'm not even taking it to the extent of saying like, oh, you know, come and fight me, you got problems. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying like people don't even act like that in real life. Like I've had zero people, I can't even remember a time in my life where somebody walked up to me and said, dude, I don't give a fuck what you're talking about right now. You know what I mean? Or just said like, you know, oh, your opinions are this. Oh yeah. Good. Well, why don't you shut your fucking mouth? Cause I'm tired of hearing you talk about it. Like there's not times where I've had that happen. And I'd like to think that most people that are listening to me now or on the internet, They haven't had those situations happen to them neither. But it's because people act a whole different fucking way on the internet than they do in person, and it's fucking gay, and it's I don't mean like, you know, nothing against gay people because I don't think they run around doing that shit neither. But I'm just saying like it doesn't make any fucking sense, and to me I like to apply things to real life. I just do. Maybe that's a weird trait that I got, but I just wouldn't do shit like that. Like, you know, that's like me having people on the show and then just talking all sorts of reckless shit and then just knowing like, I'd never talk that shit to their face, and then just logging off and making sure I never see them or something. Like, no, just conduct yourself as an adult, for Christ's sake. I don't know. A lot of it is crazy because, you know, you get into this internet, I guess, trap or whatever you want to call it, but you do have access to all these people. So you could be sitting by your fucking self in a crazy-ass mindset. You get drunk, you get whatever the fuck you want to get. And you could just log on there and access all these other people through all different walks of life and just get into their head if you want. So I think that's a lot of times what it happens. If people don't realize, like, you know, how quick they make that shit happen. So, I don't know. Just random complaint. I definitely wanted to just vent about that a little bit because I just don't understand the operations of some people. There's also that little bit of I think dignity is a word I like to use for it, but, I mean, there might be even a better term for it, but it applies to so many things and so many different ways that people act. And, like, it's kind of like a common courtesy, but at the same token, it pays back to you, too, because, like, if you do something that's just rude as fuck, or you do something that's, you know, disrespectful when you walk into some place, or you're doing something that just has no regard for other people, it's not only fucked up to the other people, but the other people are looking at you like, oh, you're a dickhead and shit. I guess that's the type of motherfucker you are. Like, common courtesy shit not only makes, you know, shit inconvenient for other people, but it just makes you come off as a jerk off. And some people care whether they look like a jerk off all the time or not. So things like that. Another Facebook thing, the games, the Candy Crushes and this and this. Now I play these motherfucking games. I guarantee you nobody who hasn't wanted fucking invites from me has gotten fucking invites. I stopped playing Candy Crush. I got stuck on one of them fucking boards. And I ain't got time for none of that fucking being on one board for the rest of my life shit. So I'm all done with that one. But I got a couple of the other games I play. But I bet you anybody who don't play those games haven't gotten invites from me. But those same people who don't play the games will tell you they get flooded with fucking invites from other motherfuckers. Why? Because the thing is on those games, for those who don't know, there's options. And when you know, there's a lot of the things where they want you to, you know, get your friend to click some shit, and then it helps you in a game, if they played a game and you played a game. Well, it'll bring up, like, a whole thing with all your fucking friends on it. Now, some of these games will have a little thing that says, these are the people who play it, and you can just pick those people. And some of them, you just got to figure out who plays it or whatever the fuck, and then go check those people on the friend list thing. Or there's a little box that says check all. And a lot of lazy motherfuckers do that. They check all, and then that's where you get people going. I wish I'd stop getting these fucking game invites, because I don't want fucking games. I don't want to play the fucking game. That's just lazy motherfuckers that don't give a shit about the other people. They don't have common courtesy for anything. They don't give a fuck if they flood your fucking wall. They don't give a fuck if they blow your whole shit up. They don't give a fuck. Because they're just hoping something sticks with their lazy shit, and they just click all, fucking boom. And it's just another one of those things that is just as easy to do it the fucking way where you go, okay, I know these five people play the fucking game, click them, send them, they help you, you fucking move on, you play your game, and nobody thinks you're a dickhead. But these type of people are the same type of people that do these different things. And, you know, I mean, there's some people that'll just walk into a fucking crowded building with a fucking... you know, with their iPhone or whatever, just blasting fucking music, just walk into like a, you know, an office and shit, and just fucking shit is just blasting their fucking music. Man, nobody can fucking concentrate on what the fuck they're doing, because you just walked in and just fucking, see, I don't know, I just have that common courtesy. Like, as I approach a fucking building or I approach some shit, I turn my shit off. I leave, turn my shit back on. I mean, it's just as simple like that. I mean, you could chalk it up to, oh, it's like, I don't give a fuck. And, I mean, but, I mean, like I said, it's the way you look, and it's the way people are looking at you. And, yeah, I mean, you could just play the badass and just be a dickhead your whole life. Or, you know, but again, it's nothing that I'm trying to tell someone to do, because I think it's kind of either something that's taught to you as a kid, some the way you were raised, or something you're just born with. It's just some kind of dignity or some kind of, you know, common courtesy that you just wouldn't do that shit to people. Obviously, you're going to have fucked up shit done to you and inconsiderate shit done to you, but I don't know. Just some people aren't built like that, to just do disrespectful shit to people for no reason, just like a natural walk of life, like I don't give a fuck what happens around me and shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I've just never been that dude. So... that's just random observations of shit that, you know, shit that I've seen. Do it. So anyway, yeah, I'm going to take a break. Like I said, I'm running off the same list of songs here because I can't upload shit and I can't download shit. So I don't even remember what the fuck I played last week. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick one of these joints. Let me see. I think I saw something up there. Ah, Jesus. All right. I'll play this one. All right, so I'll be back in a second.
I'm gonna always be beloved, you understand me? My vision getting clearer, I'm looking in the mirror, yeah. I'm saying to myself,
that's a fly nigga.
Yeah, Harlem is the city, got all my niggas with me,
yeah.
You know that they get busy.
Let's ride, nigga.
Da da, da 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 da, da 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 da.
You niggas know I'm hot.
Ride, da da, da 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 da.
They tryna take my spot.
Right.
Play the bench, just started to staying in. My thinking cap on, I'm about ready to raise the brim. Been vaping in the money, so honeys, the favors win. I got enough fans, ain't looking to make a friend.
Right.
Bad news for niggas with rap moves. The facts. open the set, fool. If cash rules, the bread good, then you fast food. Thought I left, but I write on them like tattoos. Mirror on the wall, who's the flyest of all? Maybe the monologue of fancy designer club. Buying out the ball for baby behind the bar. So you can tell them niggas retiring them on my job. They want me as a martyr, drop the hammer on mama. R.I.P. out the hoodie and light a candle for Harlem. Bring the niggas that knew me and bitches that love me truly. 100 bands for the box and bury me in my Gucci.
All my fans say fuck you in the fan mail, cause I had they main girl on a handheld. I go to the store, they try to pop my fan bell. Then I body him in the street like Cornbread Earl. Boy, I'm that girl, I'm like a pit bull. Windex in the pen to make it crystal. 170, but in rap, I'm a big dude. So yeah, I got bars like a gym room. Boy, I'm that dirty, so tell a rap jury that tennis, the only way a nigga gon' serve me. My black Mac Bernie, I even Mac Siri. Shit, I'm killing the mic like Conrad Murray. Get your weight up, boy, you wanna hustle with it. Even my protein bars got muscle in it. Yeah. Pop my trunk, pop yours, nothing in it. I'm cool, so hold up.
Wait a minute.
Let's go.
A verse. Uh-huh.
All haters are unloaded, be ready to get his hearse. I'm about to serve him notice, if Harlem don't get him first, send him down to unemployment, cause homie gon' get this work.
Right.
Hot bins, every honey gets top 10, if she hops in, then more than likely we not friends. Look, I'm locked in, hit you like Skelly, get top spin. First I pop, then I'm out like Pirelli's on stock rims. Flies in the game, still applying the pain. Chinook was top villain, and Light was riding the train. These paper thin villains get scraped and thrown in the flame. 85% of rappers is fake. And so is the chain. Now that's a no-brainer. 36 in my chamber. Now a moment of silence. I throw a L up a banger. Lyrics is not a singer. Don't ever forget it's gangster. The ladies, they get the thumbs up. Coppers just get the finger.
But love,
my vision getting clearer. Huh? I'm looking in the mirror. Yeah. I'm saying to myself,
that's a fly nigga.
Yeah, Harlem is the city. Huh? Got all my niggas with me.
Yeah.
You know that they get busy.
Let's ride, nigga.
Da 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 da.
You niggas know I'm hot.
Ride.
They trying to take my spot.
Right.
All right, I'm back. I'm trying to check this this ESPN site over here. It's acting kind of crazy. Pulled up the NFL one. It's not so good. I think I actually am going to have the dude call in a second, though. So seeing what's up with that. I'm trying to also reload this ESPN page because it's looking crazy. It's all jumbled together. I don't know what the fuck's going on with it. So let me see if... I do get a phone call in a second. Hopefully, be able to jump into this for a minute. Definitely. I keep getting this urge to get into the CZW show, but it's absolutely impossible because I haven't fucking watched it. So, like I said, hopefully I'll get this disc in the mail in the next couple of days. Hopefully over the weekend, get the computer fixed, get that going, and then by next week, hopefully, fully loaded. I also want to check, too, because I feel like I could possibly, I know you can't do it on the live feeds, but on the downloads, I think you can get it on the iPad. So if I can get the CZW show on the iPad, I'll probably do that Saturday night, see if it's not too cold, sit out by the fire, watch that shit, bang. So let me see what the fuck's going on here. I don't know. All right, let me see. Nope, still not calling in. All right. What else do I have to talk about? I'm trying to think. I think I had something else. Could be completely wrong on that, though. Bullshit reasons. Oh, well, I watched, like, a very, very little bit of the WWE last night. I more or less used it as another sleep aid last night, and, you know, didn't have a lot else to watch, so I actually turned it on. I haven't watched it in a while, weeks even. And, you know, I turned it on, and the first thing was Brody Lee, or fuck's his name now, Luke Harper, up against CM Punk. So I was watching that, and, you know, I thought it went pretty well. And, of course, you know, they do the dumb moves and stuff because it's the Wyatt family. So, you know, I'm pretty intrigued by that, CM Punk and the Wyatt family. I think the promos could be crazy. Yeah, so I might pop into that and, you know, and see if they got a little bit of, you know, good stuff going on there, because I've been completely tuned out by the TV product and just not into it. And, you know, I saw some pictures on the internet and Kane in the fucking suit looking like a high school principal and shit. That shit is retarded. I can't follow that shit. That shit's for children. So that's more or less what that is. All right, you know what? Let me play one more track, and then I'll come back and either do the football thing or have the dude on. Either way, because I'm just gonna bumble back and forth and sound like a fucking idiot otherwise. So I don't have any time for that bullshit. Play another joint.
This hip hop right here. I know all y'all young boys don't know what the fuck this is, but I'ma bring it back to life. Let's get it. How many? I'm not gonna allow any. Body to come try me, I'm wild, you crowd friendly. I'm probably on the molly that loud and wild henny. Who better? Nobody. Like bitches that's wild skinny. I shit on dudes, move all the bowels in me. I'm battle rapping like rabbit from 8 Mile in me. Yeah, but I'm from Philly, I come from a wild city. Since a child, they was like shorty vile, his style gritty. Now I walk around with the 40 cow simmy. If this beef rip the piece, that could make a cow simmy. You guessed it, I'm not the one to mess with. I could grant it if you got a death wish. I'm finger fucking the gun, the trigger getting sexually molested. Get the message, not Twitter, nigga, I'm reckless. I get rid of niggas spitting stuff like this. So how many MCs must get this, yo?
How many MCs must get this? 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 How many MCs must get this?
Every song I drop, they call it a diss record. Cause the bar's so hard that rappers feel disrespected. I'm the truth, prick, just accept it. You can never call my bluff like your phone got disconnected. I picked your bitch up and stripped her naked. She got my dick erected, I put on the Magnum so my dick protected. I made her come so many times I broke a freaking record. Man, I had her wet as the Niagara. I popped the molly, but she probably thought it was a Viagra. The beer was more than soup, you would think a waterproof. When I beat, she came quicker than a quarter note. I pound and put my sons and my daughters down shorty throat. Every song that I record is through. When I rhyme a rap, cats be like, let me sniff a line of that. Ain't nobody got time for that. They be saying, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Hey, time I rap.
How many MCs must get this? 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 How many MCs must get this?
These rat cats better play dead. Cause if I snap and kill you on the track, you gon' stay dead. I got a hot flow, I jumped on Picasso. And niggas telling me that I sound better than Jay did. Yo, I say punchlines that's unforgettable. So me dissing you will make your life miserable. What you trying to get into? I ain't hospitable, but I spit at you and hospital you. Now they admitting you and I see you, cause you in critical condition. Now listen to these next two syllables. Fuck y'all, your fucking balls is pitiful. If I ain't rap, cats wouldn't have shit to listen.
listen to. Even your fans getting sick of you. They be twitting you like, damn, I ain't bullshitting, bullshit on you. I don't care if we get along or not. You pop shit, then you gon' get dissed in the next song I drop.
How many MCs must get dissed? How many MCs must get dissed?
All right. Is that I don't know. Thought it was gone, and guess not. So last week, football, let me see. The Thursday night game was the Bengals and the Dolphins. The Dolphins ended up pulling it out in overtime. Kind of surprising. I mean, the Bengals have been hot. I don't know, man. Fucking Dolphins show some kind of signs of, spark. They fall off pretty easy, though. They're now 4-4. They started out 3-0, and then caught four consecutive losses, and now they pulled a win over a pretty big team there. Obviously, going to have some offensive line problems now. But other than that, I guess we could see whether these Dolphins could pull it together or not. I mean, the Bengals could easily just had an off week. But, what can you do? The Panthers beat the Falcons. The Falcons are just horrendous. I had picked the Falcons for this game, and I don't know why. I was just thinking, the Falcons had a pretty bad streak going. And usually, you get one week where they just play good. And you'll get, like, a surprising win out of a team. And I kind of tried to call the Falcons making that surprising win this week. And, that didn't happen at all. They got trounced by the Panthers 34-10. So, what could you expect? The Falcons are just horrendous. I'm going to have a hard time picking them any upcoming weeks because, they just don't have a lot of possibilities there. They definitely have a big downside. Let me see. The Cowboys beat the Vikings. This was, more or less the reverse of what was going on with the Cowboys and the, past games. They were just getting crept up on and beat. Adrian Peterson had actually just a beast of a game. He was really just running hard. He was breaking a lot more tackles. He was doing a lot more than he had done in past weeks. I wish this fucking ESPN, Jesus Christ, I don't know what's going on with this site over here. Again, it could just be this fucking, the iPad situation, but let me see. They're just giving me, like, season numbers, and he surely did not rush for 700 yards. Wow, that's they're crazy numbers they give me right here. Let me see if I could find it. Nope. So, just go with this one. But I'm not getting a lot of stats out of the NFL site. They're definitely not on point with that. All right. So, anyway, the Cowboys were able to pull out a victory after more or less, like, beating themselves a couple weeks in a row. The Jets beat the Saints. Surprising fashion. 17 points in the second quarter, just pulled out ahead of the Saints. The Saints couldn't recover. All field goals in the second half, both teams. Saints 2 touchdowns in the first half, but, held the field goals for the entire second half, which is definitely not like the Saints because they got a high-powered offense. If nothing else, the Saints have a definite high-powered offense. And let me see something. And I don't know. I just did not expect that out of the Saints. I hope that's, a sign of things to come. I hope that, they're able to at least provide some videotape because we got the Carolina Panthers at home this coming week. And then we got, followed by that, we're going to New Orleans to play those very same New Orleans Saints. So, I hope they can pull some videotape of how the fucking Jets beat them, because if the Jets can beat them, I have a feeling we got a pretty good thing, you know, ahead of us here. Yes, the Rams lost to the Titans. No big shock there. I definitely expected the Rams' pass rush to really get in there on the Titans, though, and they more or less did, I think, for a little while. But the Titans were able to, you know, score late, 14 points in the second or fourth quarter, I should say, and pull out the win. So, you know, the Rams are nothing to, you know, rely on. So the Chiefs remain undefeated at 9-0. A little bit of a rocky game, but they were able to put up a lot of points in the second half. You know, 20 points in the second half. They went into the second half with only 3 points, you know, down 10-3 at the half, come back and score 20 points in the second half. They're getting it done. They're doing what they got to do to get it done. They got a bye week, and then I think they start their Broncos games. They play the Broncos, and then 2 weeks later they play the Broncos. So they're going to go into, you know, come out of their bye week with the biggest game of the season. And it's very, very interesting. I can't wait till that game. They got to find a way to put that on TV. I'd imagine it's going to be, but I don't know. I mean, it really depends on local coverage over here with, you know, what who's already covered and whatnot. Yeah, but that is a game of the week straight up. Let me see. I don't know what the fuck goes on with this iPad either, because, like, you send somebody a message and shit, and it'll send. And let me see. And I just really don't I don't know what's going on, because I actually sent dude a message, and then you know, he asked me if it was too late, and I sent him a message saying no, and then you know, you go check the message to see what the past things have been saying, and it pretty much tells me, like, yeah, the last thing you said is I thought you were calling in, fucking iPad. This is what I'm saying. You can only do so much with the fucking iPad, and the only thing beyond that is just, you know, hit and miss. Definitely do some things. All right, yeah, I think I got dude on the phone right now. So this dude is, you know, a wrestler. Some people know him from the independent circuit. He's also, I think, one of the producers of a upcoming documentary, and I definitely want to hear a little more about it. Corey.
Hey, how's it going, Jay?
Hey, good, man. You're doing an up-and-coming documentary that's Wrestling with Disaster, right?
Yes, that is true. Things have been so crazy busy around here, and I apologize for getting to you later than I anticipated.
No problem.
What we're doing with Wrestling with Disaster, I'm like you said, you're correct, saying that I was one of the producers. What the goal is, I mean, so many times, and probably a little bit too many times, you've seen these documentaries about pro wrestling, and they've painted the picture of pro wrestling as being, like, really seedy, shady, underbelly, disgusting scumbags.
Mm-hmm.
And our goal is to kind of break that out, you know what I mean? Like, not, of course that stuff exists, but it happens in any job. Like, I went to like a restaurant the other day, and we're talking to the manager at the restaurant. And he's like, "Yeah, that stuff happens anywhere. You go back here in my kitchen and drug test all these guys. How many of those are going to come up clean?" It's just our business gets the black eye of it somehow more than anybody else. So, why it's called Wrestling with Disaster is to kind of show how to overcome disaster. And have gone through it. Like, for example, my story, I mean, I'm not sure how much you guys looked into the Wrestling with Disaster page. My story was, I was told that I wasn't going to be able to wrestle anymore, and I had to have brain surgery in 2011. Right. And I was like, well, you know, I can't wait to get this over with, because I'm going to get back in the ring. And when I come back to the ring, I'm going to be better than I was before. I'm not going to take the little paydays and the crappy matches. I'm not going to work just anywhere for anything. I'm going to make sure I get spots where I work. I'm going to be a new standard. And then I actually, when I did come back, I called myself the new standard because it wasn't just for a gimmick. It's like who I really, truly am. The idea of Wrestling with Disaster and what we're looking to accomplish is we want to show the positive side to the business to anybody who would already have seen that black eye and decide that they're not really a wrestling fan. Even if it's somebody who's not even a wrestling fan, if they're fans of documentaries or anything like that. Right at this point, we're running a Kickstarter. We have 7 days left to meet our goal on Kickstarter. If you guys check out wrestlingwithdisaster.com, you can see the Kickstarter. We have in the videos on Kickstarter, it shows you who we have in it. We have D'Lo Brown, brother of the Macho Man Randy Savage, Lanny Poffo, and in that he actually took us to the tree where Randy Savage was killed, and super emotional, great interview. Right. Fountain of knowledge. Same with a lot of the guys. I mean, we interviewed Warlord from the Powers of Pain. He was great. Kevin Sullivan, Tugboat, Fred Ottman, also known as the Shockmaster to some of you guys.
Right.
And it's this whole experience. I'd say it's been about 9 or 10 months that I've been involved with this, and every step along the way, I feel like I'm making history in my own life.
Sure.
And I want to make film and wrestling history and like share a little bit of how I've grown off of making this film. And I've had probably my best matches I've ever had since getting in front of this film crew
right.
I've been having so much fun. I've learned something new every single time.
To take you back a little bit, to the brain surgery and everything like that, how did the whole thing come about, and, how did you, know something was going on, and, how did that all happen?
Well, I had, it was a Thursday, which is a weird day for me most of the time, but Thursday in August of 2011, I was leaving my house to go to a show, And I was kind of running a little bit late. I jumped in the shower. Normally on Thursdays, I'm home alone. No one's there. All the time, for some reason, I always lock the door anyway, and I turn my music up really, really loud.
Mm-hmm.
This day, I happened to not lock the door, and I didn't turn on the music, and everyone was home. So I got in the shower, and while I was in the shower, due to what's called an AVM, an arterial venous malformation, it's a burst defect. It's not anything that had to do with any of the wrestling that I've ever done or any of the concussions that I've ever had. It had nothing to do with it. The AVM started bleeding out into my skull. So since there was a malformed veins in my brain on the right side, they started bleeding out, and I had a mini stroke, and I was considered a grand mal seizure. So I don't remember how it happened. Like, all I remember was I was in the shower and then I woke up in an ambulance.
Oh, wow.
And I'd never been in an ambulance before. I'd never been hurt before, never broken anything before, like, and had it treated. Like, everything, this is all just really foreign. I felt like I was dreaming. And I went through all these, this myriad of tests, and they were scanning my brain and trying to figure out what was wrong with me. And I don't really remember all of the tests. I can, piece together little tiny parts of it. But then they helicoptered me to the University of Pennsylvania because they had better neurosurgeons and stuff than around my house. And then when I got there, the neurosurgeon, world-famous neurosurgeon, named Dr. Eric Zager, He came in and told me I was going to need to have what's called a craniotomy because they discovered the AVM. And just hearing the word craniotomy, I was scared. I was going to pee my pants. Like, it sounds like something out of Planet of the Apes. Like, you don't hear people go, "Oh, yeah, it's just a craniotomy." It scared the hell out of me. I didn't know what was going to happen. And then, you know, my mom had made, she was making decisions for me because I was really not in position. I don't really remember all of where I was. I was still kind of concussed from falling out of the shower. Then my mom was making my decisions for me. She decided that we were going to wait a couple weeks and I was going to come back and have the surgery. So I had 3 weeks to basically, you know, get ready to get admitted into University of Pennsylvania Hospital for them to open up my skull and mess with my brain.
Right.
And then, doing research on a craniotomy, like I'd never heard of an AVM and I had never heard of craniotomy. So I Googled it and I was looking through stuff and I found nothing positive at all. Everything was, I knew my best friend had it and now he can't see. You know, my dad had it. Now he can't walk. This guy had it and he's now a jerk. He was cool before, but now he's a jerk. Like, it's like everybody changed in a way that was not positive.
Right.
I automatically stopped doing the research and I looked at it like, I'm going to enjoy my family. I'm going to enjoy my friends and wrestling while I can. Even though I couldn't be in the ring, there's 3 weeks. I went to some shows and I still hung out and supported my friends. My family came in from North Carolina. And, you know, we just went and we went to, you know, New York, Times Square, stuff like that. And then when I got admitted, they said, hey, expect to be in the hospital for at least a month. 30 days is what they told me. And I automatically was like, why 30 days? And they said, well, you know, you signed those papers, right? And I was like, uh-huh. And they're like, well, the papers were essentially, I might die during the surgery. And when I come to, I might not be the same. And those 30 days are the allowed time to teach me how to walk and talk and read and write and do everything all over again.
Wow.
And as soon as they told me that, I was like, I'm already ready in my mind to go back to wrestling. Like, I'm already ready to be fully better than I ever was before. And I already had that set in my mind that I was going to do that. Then I said to the nurse, and I said to my girlfriend at the time, I said, I'll be out of here in a week. Don't worry about it. And then I woke up from the surgery, and my mom was so scared because some of the research she was also doing, she focused a lot on the fact that the people weren't the same when they came out of it because there's a section of your brain that controls your personality.
Mm-hmm.
So she thought that, you know, maybe I was going to come out and be different. But, as soon as I woke up, I was cracking jokes. I was, like, ready to laugh and whatever. And, they had me going through these tests after they had pulled, like, they had all these tubes and stuff in me. Like, I had a tube in my head that hurt a lot. And you can see it in the picture that's on the Kickstarter. They had this weird tube coming out of the side of my head. And then after that, I just walked up and I was walking and talking and I was fine. And I walked out of the hospital in 3 days.
Wow. 3 days.
Instead of a month. Yeah.
I'm guessing you didn't lose any facilities or anything like, you know, they expected, you know, to have to relearn everything like that. You didn't have that, huh?
No, I didn't have any of it. And they were like, it was a lot of your attitude helps you through these things. The fact that I was young and I was healthy, you know, if it was like, you know, somebody who was unhealthy and maybe, you know, lazy or whatever, you know, the fact that I was active and this and that, and eating right, they were like, oh, wow, you're young and healthy. And that's how you, and I feel like I want to give a little bit more of the credit to my raising and how I felt like I knew I was going to get through it. And that's kind of the way I was brought up, to believe something, and that'll be what you have laser focus on, and then make it come through. And that's kind of how I am with Wrestling with Disaster, because, you know, after I got involved with it and my story was told, I wanted to make sure this whole thing was done right. I mean, I know the filmmakers that I'm aligned with are award-winning filmmakers, and they do great work. Everything I've ever seen that these guys have done before Wrestling with Disaster is all great. But I just wanted to make sure, because they are not wrestlers, that they didn't give a black eye to the wrestling business. And so I became pretty closely Anthony Bruno became, you know, in a short amount of time, my best friend. We hang out every single day. And, like, there's not a moment where him and I aren't, like, either on the phone or hanging out, like, for, right. like, the last 9-10 months. He's, like, you know, he's married and everything, but I'm, like, his new wife. His wife makes the jokes. We hang out way too much. If anything, if nothing comes of this, and I really hope it does, I made a great friend out of it. Right. Time of my life. I'm creating new memories every single week, and I can't wait to share them with everybody. And I feel like if you guys checked out the Kickstarter and decide, you know, we only have 7 days left. If you guys wanted to donate or share it, show everybody that this is a film that needs to get made. And I mean, at this point, we're getting a lot of coverage, and I'm really excited about it. And I want everybody who looks at the stuff to then maybe donate $1, donate $5, because at the end of the week, when it gets to that, you know, that 7-day point, when we get to the 14th, any money that we've gotten, if it's not to the goal, if it's not at least what our goal is, then we're not going to get any of the money already donated. That's the way Kickstarter works.
All right.
So it's super important to get on to Kickstarter. If you search Wrestling with Disaster, we're the only active Wrestling with Disaster account that's on there. And you go to WrestlingWithDisaster.com, you'll find the information on there. I mean, it. Like I said, I apologize once again for calling in so late. And I'm excited that, you know, that more people can find out about it. And I mean, did you guys already know about anything about Wrestling with Disaster?
No, I didn't.
So, I mean, nope. I think, you know, I would ask you to check it out, man. I mean, if it's not for you, it's not for you. But at the same time, it's going to be historic. And this is your point. This is your opportunity to be part of something historic, because no one else has ever got Lanny Poffo by the tree that Randy Savage was killed. No one has had this assembly of just like fate being on our side when it comes to making a movie. And this is not, like, when it comes to a goal, this isn't just something that we want to release to a limited crowd and pro wrestling. I mean, while the wrestling crowd is great, and I love wrestling fans, if it wasn't for wrestling fans, I wouldn't have been, you know, I was a wrestling fan. I still am. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I still watch WWE and everything. You know, anything I can, I watch it. But if it wasn't for wrestling fans, then there would be no wrestling. There would be no me. There would be no you. It's just, it's not just for us, though. It's for film fans. Like, we're submitting into festivals, and that's part of what we need the funds for, because you need to pay to get into these festivals, and we don't have that out of pocket. We have a couple more shoots that we need to do, and we need to rent some additional equipment. And, I mean, that's a little costly, but, I mean, our goal isn't, like, outrageous. It's, like, it's $12,637. And at this point, we're at about $2,736. So we have a good amount of money that we still need to raise, and we have 1 week to do it. So if you can, you know, help us a little bit by sharing it with your fan base, your friends, your family, that would be great. And, you know, the amount of support that we have been getting has been amazing. I mean, my family has chipped in a lot. This week, this week we're doing a fundraiser in Northeast Philly. And it's at the Hellraisers Motorcycle Club on Pickwick. And it's going to be a whole bunch of wrestlers are going to be there. And there's going to be free food, $25 to get in. It's going to be raffles. Chicky and Pete's donated gift cards and T-shirts. Tony Luke's is donating food for the fundraiser. My family has made a lot of food. My mom and my aunts and my sister, super excited. Anthony's family, his grandfather helped us put the whole thing together. I'm super excited because we are going to get a chance at this point to show what family is like, just like wrestling. Wrestling shows, that's why we say brother to each other, because we all feel like it's a brotherhood.
Right.
So it's a trust thing, and that's what pro wrestling is, and it's emotions. And, it's going to be hosted by Mixed Wellness Brian Socha. You're going to see Gary Wolf is going to be there. Blue Meanie's going to be there. Gray Wolf, The Last Warrior, Gray Wolf. And, Mark Cruz, a whole bunch of other guys will be there. Of course, I'll be there. You want to come by and see us. You'll see the information on Facebook. There's an event. But if you go to WrestlingWithDisaster.com, you can see the event. And, I don't want to come on here and just make it seem like I'm shilling out stuff.
That's fine, man. That's fine. I don't mind helping you, get the word out there. And, by chance that, you don't get the money you're looking for, you got a lot of stuff filmed. Where do you go from there? Do you, start another campaign? I can't imagine you abandoning, doing what you're doing.
Right. Well, honestly, dude, I haven't really, I don't know. I haven't imagined, what the next step is going to be. I've thought it over and we've talked about it, and we kind of have to, it's kind of going to be like a start from the drawing board, We're going to have to start all over again, trying to raise funds, and necessarily, having failed Kickstarters isn't fun, kind of discouraging. The support is very much appreciated from anybody who does give it.
Yeah, of course.
The movie's just going to take a lot longer to release. We do have a lot of the footage we need, but we have a little bit more coming up. We have an interview that we're scheduling right now with Matt Capitelli. We have to travel for that. To go see him and conduct the interview. Matt Capitelli from WWF's Tough Enough. He had a brain tumor and indefinitely is taking time off from wrestling. But he is running a successful business now. He's doing better with his life and he's happy. So it's not just about how awful things are. We have other stuff going on where we're going to have a whole bunch of ECW talent together, have these talent stories, and, that's another suit that we're going to need to pay for. Maybe we're going to miss out on some of those shoots if we don't get the funds, if we don't get the help. And I just really hope we don't have to, because this is all stuff that I think people are going to really enjoy seeing. And there's some other stuff we're going to do. Do you remember Kid Cash from ECW?
Sure, yeah.
Kid Cash from ECW is now going to be teaming with Gary Wolf from the Pitbulls. And, Kid Cash was in the Pitbulls in the WWE version. So they're going to team together and be called Pitbull 13. And they're doing a tag team seminar with the Powers of Pain. So the Warlord and the Barbarian. And we need to pay for that. We're going to film a seminar for that when we get the funds.
Right.
We're offering some pretty amazing rewards that are, not too pricey. You can get your name on the IMDb credits of a movie. You can get, a lot of times you're going to pre-order something anyway, if it's a video game that you really want or if it's a movie that you really want. This is essentially, you can do that. You know what I mean? And so that's like $30, something like that. You just lay that out and you get it. You know, and at the point we're kind of getting covered, but it's really like crunch time at this point. We're getting covered like we're wrestling news sites all over the place have been going into this. And what's funny is I did a radio or a blog talk or like a podcast recently, and in it I made the joke that I was considering that I do a whole bunch of things and I'm multi-talented, multifaceted, or whatever I said in this interview. I said that I am the Beyonce of indie wrestling because I do stand-up comedy and I do wrestling and acting and filmmaking. Right. And they took that quote where it says, "Oh, Corey Castle has compared himself to Beyonce," and that's getting all over the place. So now, it would be funny if people actually thought that was funny and wanted to click on it and then donate to the to the project. But it's all for the good of the film.
Sure. Yeah, whatever it takes, man. When did you actually get into stand-up comedy?
Oh, I started doing stand-up comedy in about 2009. I started in the summer of 2009. And, I'd taken big, long breaks in the meantime. Like, at this point, I've only done comedy once in the last, like, month. Before that, I had taken about a year off because I had gotten a new job and I couldn't get weekdays off, or at least like not get out till late. But I placed in some competitions and I tried really hard, and when I came through my surgery, I couldn't get in the ring, I couldn't perform, so I would just write down shit. And is it okay to curse? Because I just did.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, I would just write stuff down, and that's basically what one of the things that helped me through it, because I had a whole lot of stuff I wanted to say, but I think wrestling fans and even myself were getting sick of hearing me talk on the microphone about how I had the surgery and stuff like that. Like, I kind of got sick of talking about it for a while. And then I think even my family, like, it was such a traumatic thing. And I feel like this movie, once it's out and it's released, like, it'll be a tale to inspire as much, like, less than it was before. Before it was like, oh, what's the next step now? Who knows? But I've already come back, you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing better than I have in years.
Sure. Yeah, you should probably also revisit all those message boards that you saw nothing but bad things. So if someone else has to go through the procedure, they could have somebody to,
right.
You know.
That's exactly what I was trying to go back and find them all, but I think it's been too long. I did write a thing, a really long thing, where I was saying about you don't see enough of the positives when it comes to stuff like. If somebody has something bad to say, they're gonna talk about it online. People rarely go online and say the good stuff. So reviews on businesses and stuff are a lot of people who are bitter about how they were wronged or something.
Right.
I was not wronged. Dr. Zager is my hero. Like, I'll go running. When I go running, I listen to Foo Fighters. There Goes My Hero. Mm-hmm. And I think of Dr. Zager, and he saved me, man. And I got to keep my hair. That's great. I love that. my hair is a great part of, you know, what makes me me. I think if I had the big scar, but you don't see it. Like, I wear it underneath my hair, so nobody sees it.
Yeah, I was surprised with that too. When they, they saw the shot of the, stitches all the way across the top of your head. I figured, with the smallest surgery, they shave your whole head, and I was surprised that they only, took out that small portion.
Well, what was funny about that is my mom made fun of me because, like I said, I was kind of concussed and I was kind of agitated because I knew I was missing a show that I was supposed to actually win the title at. And so I was pretty upset. And when the doctor came in and he told me what the surgery was and what they'd have to do, I was like, so you're going to cut my hair? And I can't wrestle, and I can't work out, and I can't have sex. And the guy was like, yeah. And I was like, forget it. I'm not having a surgery. My mom was like, yeah, he probably thought you were the biggest asshole right then. And then the guy said to me, look, dude, you got to have the surgery or you're going to be dead. And I was like, oh, all right, well, can you not cut my hair? And he was like, yeah, I give this surgery to ladies sometimes. So he compared me to a lady. I guess that was payback for me being an asshole.
All right.
So I got to shave my hair. And then, you know, when I came back in and I got admitted and everything, I was like, hey, Dr. Zager, I'm so sorry. I was a jerk before. I was really messed up. I don't know what was going on. You got to go through life sometimes going back and fixing mistakes that you made, even how minor they could possibly be.
Sure. Now, you know, going back into wrestling, too, after that, I mean, is there any, you know, worries of, because I guess you said, like, it was a birth thing. It wasn't something that was caused. But is there any, you know, dangers of anything like that, head trauma?
Well, he did tell me at first. He said, for a while, you're going to be more susceptible to concussions than anybody else. But
wrestling is a great
thing
to do.
Yeah. He said at first. But then, at the same time, like I watch a lot of wrestling, and I study it, and I trained and got to the point where like I never hit my head, ever.
Mm-hmm.
It's a major part of somewhere I was already before, like with not hitting my head, because I already felt like I was kind of dumb before. I didn't want to get any dumber. So I trained myself to, like, never hit my head. And then, you know, at this point, I was really scared to come back, you know. But, you know, it was about a year I came back, and I came back in 13 months. And when I did come back, I just basically, like, clicked, and I was just back to normal. But I was better. I think, and this is kind of cliche, but I'm going to say it anyway. The person you are when you walk on the other side of the fire is a different person than you were before you walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like it helped me be a man, and I felt like I kind of toughened up a lot. Because people, it's tough, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything, but not everybody goes through something like that.
Sure, yeah, definitely not.
So, I mean, If I can inspire somebody to not give up on what they want to do, like, I'd love to do that. Somebody recently called me an inspiration, and I didn't even know how to take it. And I was like, I guess. I mean, I'm just doing what I want to do. Like, I'm not trying to inspire. I'm not trying to pander to anybody. I'm not trying to show off to anybody or become something that I'm not. I'm just being who I am. Like, this is who I was raised to be, and you know, I believe in something and I want to do it. Of course, my mom won't come see me wrestle anymore. She hates when I'm gone. When she knows I'm at shows, she's at home biting her nails waiting for me to call her or text her and tell her I'm okay. 2 weeks ago, I had a steel cage match in Delaware. I wanted to not tell her about it, but she wound up hearing about it anyway. And, you know, I got through it. Everything's good. I'm now the DCW heavyweight champion. It was a ladder match inside of a steel cage. It was really super fun. I love wrestling. I love every bit of wrestling I can. It's weird because I grew up kind of a dork and really skinny and weird and awkward. I was in special ed. I had a learning disability. Like, I had like crossed eyes, like, and I wore these big thick glasses. And I never would have thought, or no one would have ever thought by looking at me, that I would grow up to be a professional wrestler at all.
All right.
And I just knew that this is what I wanted. And, you know, I made up my mind 100% at the age of 14. When I found that there was like a, a rinky-dink, shitty wrestling school that was, like, in my town. And I was like, I'm going to go there. And I went there, and it was garbage, dude. It sucked. Like, they didn't know what they were doing. They just had a ring and were taking kids' money. But I went there, and when I was there, I met Discount Dewey Donovan. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, sure.
And Dewey was like, look, man, I know a better school. I'll take you there. So then I went, when I was 16, I went to the CCW wrestling school.
Training with Dahmer.
In Mantua. Yeah. Trained with Dahmer. And, you know, a little bit after that, then Eddie came in. And, you know, I had a lot of help with Trent. Trent and Johnny were there all the time. Rick Blade, I mean, people want to hate on Rick Blade, but he was a sharp guy. Justice Payne. It was like everybody who was in CZW in what I sometimes refer to as kind of the golden years of the company had a good hand in training me and teaching me stuff. Reckless Youth. I give a lot of credit, even though sometimes I won't want to, but I give some credit to Z-Bar. He helped me a lot. Nick Burke helped me a tremendous amount. And, I mean, Nick Burke's still a very good friend of mine today. And, you know, pretty heavily involved with the production of this film as well.
Excellent. Yeah, that's good. I mean, what was it like coming up in CZW? Obviously, you're a smaller guy, and, you know, it was known for being a pretty brutal company, and, you know, whether it be the death matches or whatnot.
I think I was too immature, honestly. I think I didn't quite get it. I didn't have, of course, like, I'm not going to have the same passion I had for wrestling now as I did back then. But I really kind of, I don't know. I was just out of high school. Like, when I first came into CZW, my first match I ever had there was in September of 2002. Okay, so I had just graduated high school. And I was just wide-eyed, and I was just had a dopey grin on my face all the time. So I was so happy to be in a ring, but I sucked really, really bad. So I was just kind of used as a student. Like, I was, every angle I was in was like, oh, he's a student, and I sucked really bad. And I basically kind of got a big head about myself, because around that time, CZW was kind of becoming something bigger. And I got put in there. I loved it. I loved CZW. When I was in school, I would, like, you know, I would draw CZW stuff on my notebooks and stuff. Like, I was a fan of the company that I was involved with, which was great for me as a kid. But I was looked at as a kid, and Zandy didn't respect me. He called me like a dope and an asshole, like, all the time. And rightfully so. I guess I probably would have done the same thing if I was him. Because I was kind of a goofball, and I really didn't take things way that too seriously. I had an ego a little bit, because I went from being the dorky kid, and I wasn't humble, really. Went from being, like, the dorky, awkward, never-going-to-be-a-wrestler kid to then being a guy who's kind of getting spots on TV, on the company, on the channel that ECW used to be on. Like, I thought I was on my path at that point. And I guess it, you know, I had fun kind of, here's the weird part. I had fun exceeding people's expectations of me at points, but then at the same time, I knew I probably was letting a lot of people down. And people were like, wow, look, you just got handed a spot in CZW, and you suck. So I was probably upsetting some peers, because CZW was something great. It was something really great. And I never did any of the deathmatch stuff. And still, like, to this day, my name, out of all of this, my name is most synonymous for being in that company. Like, so when people talk about the documentary, and now that we're doing press for it, and anywhere, you know, I go, or anybody I call, they talk to me about being a CZW guy. But that was me a really long time ago. I'm not that guy anymore. I mean, it's scary to say, okay, yeah, if you want to look me up, on CZW, you're not going to find anything that you like, because I sucked. But you know, this film, you know, when the whole thing is said and done and edited and everything, you'll kind of get a better feeling of, you know, who Corey Castle is now as a grown up. Like,
right.
I'm about to turn 30 in a month. Like, that's a long time, man. I've been kicking, doing this stuff, and I'm excited to you know, get it out there and have people see me now as you know, the evolution, so to speak. But you know, with permission of CZW, perhaps maybe you're going to see some of the footage of me when I was younger in the film. But who knows at this point?
I don't even know who you'd contact at this point for that.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, there's some irons on the fire there. I don't hate CZW. I don't know it anymore. I just don't follow it.
Right.
I mean, I wish I could lie and say I hated it or I loved it, because I don't. I don't know. I wish I knew, but I just don't have time to know.
All right. So where are you trying to go, or, you know, what are you trying to accomplish in wrestling at this point? Because, like you said, you wanted, you know, the very best.
Right. I don't really know, honestly. I think a lot of my goals right now are to be kind of, I watched some of my peers in wrestling give up on it so frequently. Like, within the last year, I've lost, not from debts, this is just from people quitting wrestling,
mm-hmm.
or retiring from wrestling. In the last year, I've lost all of my best friends. So I'm not leaving. I'm making new friends, getting higher, I'm getting better spots. I just want to have great matches.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as much as, like, I don't have a goal for a company or something like that, but I just want to have good matches and be able to look back on them and have something. Maybe one day I'll have kids and I'll be able to show them, you know, and be like, look,
right.
This is what your dad was. And, you know, maybe get to be able to make a living off of just wrestling, which I've never done at this
sure.
point.
I mean, where can people see, you know, wrestle?
Where can people see me wrestle? A lot of my newer stuff you're not going to see online anywhere. I have some matches coming up. Like, I'm doing a lot of stuff with the Monster Factory. They're running shows at the Monster Factory. I'm doing one on the 16th of November in Paulsboro, New Jersey. I'm not really working every single weekend like I used to, because I'm taking it a little bit easier on, you know, bumping every week. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, I want to keep having good matches. I want to have good solid stuff. But everything I do, I post that I'm going to be doing it on Twitter at Corey Castle, CoreyKastle, or I'll post it on Facebook. A lot of my appearances that I do, I post on there. My matches, you can't really see full recent matches, but in the Kickstarter video where it's playing the Alien Ant Farm song in the background, you see a couple clips of my more recent stuff. I don't have any stuff online. Maybe if there was a demand for it, if people were asking me for it, I could put stuff online, because I have
sure.
the footage. I just am not doing anything with it, except putting it in my movie, or our
sure.
movie. And, you know, once the film comes out, maybe they'll be part of special features. And, you know, what's also really cool, and I'm sorry if you were going to say something, I didn't mean to interrupt
no,
you,
no,
but
no.
The amount of interviews that we've done so far, a lot of that's not going to be in the movie, but there's some great stories. Some of the stuff is better than any of the shooter interviews you've seen. Not to crap on any of the shooter interviews, because shooter interviews are great. I love them. They're great for learning stuff. I've learned a lot from watching food interviews. But the thing is, like, these are a little bit more emotional. Like, it seems like people have opened up because they know it's something big and it's going to be historic. So, you know, we have a clip online right now where it's and there's a donor exclusive video, but before that there's Blue Meanie kind of discussing how he is against bullying and about, you know, how his upbringing kind of was. And then there's a donor exclusive that's the second half of that that's more positive. And we have some stuff that's on YouTube right now, but perhaps we'll make the film. We were sitting with Kevin Sullivan and Warlord together at the same time for their interview. And during that, we were taking a break between questions, and I had a text message informing me about Doink the Clown, Matt Bourne. And while the cameras were still rolling, I read that text message to them, and we got the reaction on tape. It was not something that we, you know, would have ever planned, but it just happened, you know what I mean? But you can see that on YouTube. And that's an epic moment. I mean, as filmmakers, you pray for stuff like that, but at the same time, we don't want to exploit anybody, and maybe it'll make a film, maybe it won't. But, you know, it's kind of redeeming at the fact that they go from hearing that to then saying, please live life. Don't take any moment for granted, because we do have loss. Loss is a part of life. Death is a part of living. So it's you know, appreciate every single thing you have. Like, the fact that, you know, you get to have a show. Like, that's awesome. Like,
sure.
Not everyone gets to have a show that people listen to. Nobody, you know, sure. not everybody gets to have an opinion that people care about, but you do, you know?
Sure.
So just be grateful for every single thing you have. I tell my little sister, I tell my mom, every time I see them, that I love them. And it's not because I'm trying to suck up or anything. It's because I truly love these people that I surround myself with. And I think that, you know, once this film comes out, people can kind of get a better idea of who I truly am. And if you have any questions for me or anything like that, I'm the type of dude, like, I'll give you my phone number. You can call me. We'll talk about it. Like, I'm not inaccessible. Hopefully cool. One day I'll be really inaccessible and you'll have to talk to my handler and everything. But at this point, I'm super open to talk to you. And, you know, if anybody has any questions for me, just write me on Facebook or whatever like that, and I'll just get to you. I'm totally cool. But like my passion for wrestling, I have the same passion for this film, even more so because I know it's not just my story. And my story could be completely cut from the film, but I would still feel this passionate about it. And it's because every waking moment I've had for the last 9 months has been involved with making sure this film gets shot the right way and it gets, you know, it portrays wrestling in the correct manner. I mean, look at some of the names that we have, and you know, don't normally do stuff like this. Like, you know, we have Headbanger Thrasher. Haven't really seen him in a whole lot of stuff. We got Sabu. Mm-hmm. We got Blue Meanie. We have like some really cool stuff. We've captured some really emotional moments and people who have messages that are really important for the world to hear and see.
Right. Sure.
So,
well, yeah,
I mean,
man,
if you get a chance.
I mean, I wish you luck on, you know, getting, you know, raising the money you're trying to get, and, you know, I would hope everything works out. Definitely give everything a plug again, you know, where they could find it, where they can go to donate and everything else.
Yeah, if you go to wrestlingwithdisaster.com, or if you search through Twitter or Facebook and you do hashtag KicksWWD, it'll tell you where to go to donate to our project. You got to, you know, if you go to Kickstarter, you can do it. Or if you, you know, if you follow me on Twitter, Corey Castle, like I said, CoryKastle. It's basically like you're going to be able to donate to it and, you know, help us make this film because, like, well, I hate sounding desperate, but I feel like I almost am because this is like my baby. This is my love. This is my passion. And I can't wait to share that passion with everybody else. And if you guys would open up, there's rewards for it. Please read through the list of rewards. It's, you know, there's a lot of really awesome stuff like, you know, autographed merchandise. We actually even have a mirror that we've been carrying around. Like, I carry a mirror around. People think I'm an egomaniac. But it's not for that. It's because I knew we were going to do this. I knew we were going to have a Kickstarter campaign. What I did was I had, for the last couple months, I've had stars sign the back of the mirror. So there's a mirror with a whole bunch of signatures on it that we're going to be, you know, it's going to be a Kickstarter reward. And, you know, there's some ring-worn gear. We have a knee pad signed by Macho Man Randy Savage. We have one of his cowboy hats signed by Randy Savage. We have some great stuff that's really exclusive, and you're not going to find it anywhere else. And, you know, those as high as producer credits. You can get co-executive producer, co-associate producer credits that are going to be on IMDb. That's history right there. You're not going to get that from just any other Kickstarter or any other film, unless you're in the business. And you're really, you know, it's a tough business to get into, the film business.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, definitely, you know, like I said, I wish you luck. And
no problem, man. Thanks so much for, you know, giving me this time. And I apologize that I was a little bit late. And I'm super busy, head spinning, trying to figure out, getting ready for Friday. We got that fundraiser in Northeast Philly, and
sure.
You know, hopefully that's a huge success. I know we have a good amount of people saying they're going to go, but then there's a lot. You know how that stuff goes. People
sure.
say, "Oh, can't wait," and then when it comes to it, then they just don't.
Yeah.
So at this point, we have it sounds harsh, but you know, we have really no time for maybes. We only have time for positives and
sure.
being sure.
Yep. So yeah, man, you know, if you need anything in the future, you know, getting any, you know, word out there, let me know. Happy to have you back.
Yeah, man, if you could share it on your show's website or Facebook, and
sure.
you know, tell your fans to check it out and get it out there. Cause I mean, I don't know if everybody listens to every show every single time, but if they don't, if they see the information there, that would be great. And I mean, you know, if you want me to come back on and talk about anything else, dude, I could talk to you about Raw and Impact and all that stuff. I'm a fan, man. I love wrestling.
Sure, sure.
So, you know, anytime you want to talk to me about that stuff, like I said, I'm not inaccessible. You can reach me at any point.
All right, man. Cool.
All right. Is there anything else? Any other questions you have for me, man?
No, I think that's about it, man. But, yeah, like I said, I wish you the best of luck, and definitely be in contact, man.
All right, Jay. You have a great day, man. Thank you for calling.
All right, you have a good night.
Thanks for having me calling. All right. Bye.
No problem. All right. And, All right, that was Corey Castle, and like I said, he's one of the producers of this documentary he's got coming up. It's a pretty cool-looking documentary. You know, you go out there and support him. I mean, the guy's, you know, trying to get this done, and, you know, he's got a bunch of money to raise. So, you know, definitely go check that out, and, you know, he gave all the addresses there. You know, I'll throw a link up on the site, and if you guys want to check that out, for sure, go get that. All right, go back to the football thing I was doing here. Like I said, the Chiefs stayed undefeated. The Redskins beat the Chargers. I really don't know what to feel about these teams. The Redskins are just not looking like a powerhouse team. RG3 is looking real suspect. A lot of the balls he's throwing is just really, you know, nothing I would write home about. Just not good. Oh, man, I wish I had this fucking ESPN scoreboard over here. It's just looking like shit. It's all bunched together. There's no usually they give you, like, the bottom line under whatever the scores are. They tell you, oh, this guy ran for this or that guy ran for that. So, anyway, I'm on the NFL.com one, and it's just not good. So, anyway, the Redskins won in overtime. The Eagles beat the Raiders false through for 7 fucking touchdowns, which I read a stat. Dude threw for 7 touchdowns, and the Jaguars quarterback has thrown for 4 all season combined. So, yeah, that's big. But, again, they played the Raiders. Let's not be fucking crazy. And, yeah, to keep on a little bit of a topic of racism, Riley Cooper caught 3 touchdowns from the white guy that threw it to him. So I'm sure he was very, very happy about his day out. The Eagles, they beat the fucking Raiders. They're 4-5 still. The NFC East is horrendous. A 4-5 team in any other division really I don't think would stand too much of a chance. But because they are the Eagles and it is the NFC East, I mean, you just, what can you expect? I mean, it's just nothing really, impressive about the NFC East. It's going to be anybody's division at the end of the year, I think. And, yeah, I mean, right now I'd say the leader of that division has got to be the Cowboys. But with Romo and his choking ability, I mean, anything's possible. He's just not a consistent quarterback. He's not a go-to guy. I don't care what anybody says. You know, people, oh, it's not his fault, this and that. But when the game comes down to the line, Tony Romo with the ball is not a safe bet. It's just not. It never will be. The Seahawks beat the Bucks in overtime, and it sounds like I'm grinding my teeth because I kind of fucking am. The Seahawks were up 21-0 at one point, and it was 21-7, and it was 24-7. They were up on the fucking Seahawks at Seattle. In Seattle, the almighty fucking Seattle home games, loud as they may be, the Bucks with no wins, 0-8, fucking go to overtime and lose to the fucking Seahawks. I couldn't have been too much happier if the Bucks would have beat the fucking Seahawks. I don't care if they lose every other game for the history of that fucking team. I don't care if they're sold to London. I really don't give a shit. Sorry, Two Scoops. That's the next team. But, man, they fucking had to lose that game. But the one thing I will say that I feel very, very certain and positive about is the Seahawks, despite pulling out these wins, they're showing tremendous weakness. I don't care if they're fucking wins. Well, I do care if they're wins. But despite the fact that they're wins, you got the Seattle Seahawks barely beating the fucking Tampa Bay Buccaneers in overtime at home. That's not a good look. And then you got, the week before, if it wasn't for a goal line stand, the fucking St. Louis Rams would have beat them as well. So it's really not a good look for them. And I'm overjoyed by it because obviously a big rival over there. And, we got to try to claim that division back. We're on a 5-game winning streak. We've won all 5 of those games by double digits. And then we're going to be at home. I'll get into a little bit more about what we're going to do when I do the picks in a second. The Browns beat the Ravens. The Ravens are another team that I just, the bottom has fallen out of that team. As soon as they won the Super Bowl, they more or less, it was like a new car. When you drive it off the lot, it automatically loses value. As soon as they won the Super Bowl, it automatically lost value to the team. They started just cutting bait with a lot of guys. Guys were retiring. Guys were just leaving. Guys, I've actually seen Raven fans that swear up and down that Joe Flacco taking a huge contract had nothing to do with losing half their team. I think that's one of the dumbest statements I've ever heard because, you know, Joe Flacco is an overrated quarterback. He absolutely is. He had a really good, you know, streak and had a really good run last year, but it was also, you know, backed by the emotional support and the emotional wave of Ray Lewis's last year. The defense was still playing on point. You know, Ray Rice was doing things he's surely not doing this year. You know, they had a wide receiving core. They had a whole lot of different things going on for him that they just don't have now. Joe Flacco by himself is not a threat. He's just not. I mean, a lot of those passes he was throwing last year was like fucking John Madden football. He was just launching long field passes and his wide receivers happened to be there to beat, you know, beat the defense and catch the ball. I mean, they weren't really, you know, well thought out routes. I'm not saying his whole game was like that, but he had a lot of just launch down the fucking field and a guy was there. You know, you had Anquan Boldin down there catching balls, and, you know, and Anquan Boldin, and I'm learning that firsthand having him on the Niners. He's a guy that, you know, when he's covered, he's open. Like, he's a beast like that. So, I mean, there's a lot of factors, but when it comes down to it, the Ravens are a fucking joke. I have Ray Rice on my fantasy team, and if I thought I could drop him and pick up someone better, I'd do it in a heartbeat. But, you know, anybody with any value is already signed up, so it doesn't really matter. Like, I fucking hold on to him and just hope for the best, but he's fucking garbage, at least this year. The Patriots put up 55 points on the fucking Steelers. There's another horrible team for you. 2-6 Steelers. They pulled those two wins, and all of a sudden you saw everybody waving their stupid little towels and getting all brave about themselves again. Steelers are horrible. Fucking Patriots put up 28 points in the fourth quarter. Jesus. You know. The Colts beat the Texans. The Colts are, man, they're a badass team. I mean, I know this is the Texans, and that's a little close for comfort. But, chance. Can't stop yawning. I guess that's good because, you know, I'm going to want to go to bed after I get off the show or soon after. The Colts, not good listening, though. The Colts, I don't know, man. They beat the Seahawks. They beat the Niners. They beat the Broncos. I mean, this team is going to be the team you do not want to see in the playoffs. They really are. Playoffs, they're not. You're not going to want to see them in the playoffs. They're badass. You know, they're a scrappy team. They could fight, and they could definitely make a difference, you know, in who comes out of that AFC. The Bears beat the Packers. This was the Packers team that lost Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers went down. I think he's got a minor fracture in his collarbone or some shit. And I think these have like 4 weeks or something, which is going to just completely rock the Packers team. That Packers team was held together by Aaron Rodgers. They have lost a bunch of different people, you know, to injury. And Aaron Rodgers being able to go out there and just sling the ball and do what he does, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, kept that team competitive. Of course, you know, the running game stepping up here and there, you know, would definitely help. But Aaron Rodgers was the absolute key factor for that team to stay competitive. And him going out, if he's out 4 weeks, man, you're going to see that team drop. And, you know, I had called before that I think Detroit's going to be that team that takes that division. And I think that's only going to help the cause. So, so that's that there. Let me see. Now, yeah, let me just jump right into the picks. And okay, tomorrow night you got Washington and Minnesota. Washington's favored by 2.5 points. I'm going to go with Washington on this one. Minnesota had a really good game. Peterson played really well. I don't see this trend continuing. I don't know how to call Washington either, but I think RG3 is going to have some good games this season. I don't think he could be consistent enough to even come out of that shitty division over there. I don't think their defense has stepped up whatsoever. Washington defense. I mean, last year you had an older London Fletcher that really, really stepped up. I mean, the guy was playing like he was in his, you know, third year of ball. And I don't know if he was just, you know, riled up off the arrival of RG3 being a big, you know, the big story and everything else. But that defense isn't looking like it has any kind of spark behind it. But beyond that, Minnesota's just looked like colossal failures. And other than Adrian Peterson running the ball really, really well, which can happen. But I got to go with Washington on this one. Plus, I also, again, have RG3 on my fantasy team. I'm hoping to get Colin Kaepernick in a trade. I also have Russell Wilson. So I got to figure out whether I play RG3 up against Minnesota, or I play Russell Wilson up against Atlanta. Both are good calls, because Atlanta's pretty horrible, and so is Minnesota. I think I'm probably going to lean towards that Russell Wilson start. If the trade goes through, then I'll end up with Kaepernick, because I'm actually trying to trade away Russell Wilson and Danny Amendola for Kaepernick. And if that's the case, then I'll go with Kaepernick. But, you know, still haven't accepted that trade. Detroit is going to Chicago. Detroit's favored by 2.5 points. They got Detroit. Like I said, I think they're going to really pick up momentum, especially Green Bay starts to dip. They got to battle Chicago as well. I don't think Chicago is that great of a team. I really don't. I think Cutler's out too. And, you know, take that for what it's worth, but because Cutler's hit and miss. But I gotta think Detroit wins that game. Jacksonville at Tennessee. Tennessee is favored by 13.5 points. Don't give Tennessee that much credit. Maybe I'm wrong for doing so. I'm gonna go with Jacksonville just off of the points. My only bias there, I have as one of my running backs, I have Maurice Jones-Drew. But I'm not basing this off of that. I think Jacksonville is going to keep it, keep the points decent. I don't know if they're going to win the game. I think that would be a little bit of a stretch. But I just don't have that much faith in Tennessee. You know, a blowout on the other Tennessee. No matter how horrible Jacksonville is, but I guess we'll see. Cincinnati at Baltimore. Like I said, Cincinnati's a hot team. They took that loss, but I don't think they're going to take a loss here. Baltimore's been pretty bad, and I think it's going to continue here. Cincinnati needs to keep winning games and stretching, so you know, no funny shit happens towards the end of the season. You know, so that's what I expect to happen. Cincinnati winning. And they're only favored by 1.5, so that's pretty much just a win. Buffalo at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's favored by 3.5. I think Pittsburgh wins this game at home. So I'm going to go with them. Philly at Green Bay. Green Bay's favored by 9.5 points. And, you know, I'm not buying this fucking 7-touchdown Philly resurgence bullshit. However, I'm sure as fuck not buying a Green Bay team without Aaron Rodgers, so I do got to go with Philly on this one, especially, you know, they got Green Bay favored by 9.5 points. Without Aaron Rodgers, I don't think that's a possibility, is a 10-point win over, I don't even want to call them a hot Philadelphia team, but, you know, a team coming off of a big win against the Raiders. And, you know, a backup quarterback in Green Bay is just not a good look. I think this spread was actually put out before the, you know, the extent of the injury was released. So I think this is more or less like a given, this game, picking Philly. St. Louis at Indianapolis. Indianapolis is favored by 10.5 points, and I think Indy does do just that. Goes and wins this game by, you know, 2 touchdowns or so. Oakland at the Giants. Giants are favored by 7.5 points. I got to think the Giants get this win, which, you know, pains me to say that because they're fucking horrible. And now, you know, they're another one like Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins a couple games, and now all of a sudden those yellow fucking towels come out. Now the Giants win a couple games, and, you know, the same shit happens. All the blue jerseys, and now I get the big blue fucking posts on Facebook, and everyone found their shirts. But they're still a shit team. Bottom line is Oakland just got 7 fucking touchdowns thrown up on them by a backup quarterback. So I think if Eli hooks up with Cruz, he could fucking throw 3 touchdowns easy to Cruz on this Oakland team. I don't buy what Oakland's doing. Yeah, you know, they're too young, and I don't buy what the Giants are doing either, but I just got to go Giants on this one. Seattle at Atlanta. Seattle's favored by 6.5 points. Got to go with Seattle on this one. Atlanta is just continually upsetting. They really don't have an answer for anybody. They just don't. And I think if they had a problem with Cam Newton, they're going to have a real problem with Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, and the Seattle defense. Carolina at San Francisco. San Francisco's at home. 6.5 point favorites. We got Mario Manningham coming back to the field, and we got another big surprise in Aldon Smith coming back. He was in rehab. He's been out 5 weeks, you know, rehabbing his alcohol issues and getting that thing under control. I didn't think this dude was going to see the field again this year. I don't know what's going on with the Chargers. I think he's got to be back in there sometime this month or some shit like that. You know, he's got felony charges, gun charges, and shit like this. So I don't know what the longevity of him being able to, you know, stay on the field or avoid jail time or any of this stuff. I have no idea what the whole thing is there. But however, he's back on the field on Sunday. And Cam Newton is not going to have quite the easy time. You know, he's not going to be able to run all over the place like he did on Atlanta. It's just not going to happen. You know, Navarro Bowman, Pat Willis, you know, the Smiths out there. You know, you got Justin Smith and now Aldon Smith coming back. He's going to be so fired up 5 weeks out of football in a non-injury. I mean, a guy, you know, down 5 weeks with an injury is going to be pretty excited to come back. A guy just battling some demons, fucking boiling, waiting to get back on the field to be the beast he is, pass-rushing fucking animal that he is. Man, Cam Newton's got some shit coming at him on Sunday. And, you know, adding another weapon to the offense with Mario Manningham, who's probably the primary target. I would consider him the primary target last year. Did so much to get us to the playoffs to where we were. And then, you know, towards the end of the season and the playoffs, Michael Crabtree took over as that number one guy. But so much of last season, the target guy, the key guy was Mario Manningham. So I'm really excited to see what he's going to do, be able to be out there with Anquan Boldin and, you know, Vernon Davis. So they also cut Nnamdi Asamoah. Tremaine Brock is out there just fucking killing it. So no shock to me. Asamoah, you know, got injured. And then on top of that, Tremaine Brock, he's playing lights out football. There's no reason why you would put that guy out of the game playing the type of stuff he does. And, you know, we need a roster spot. We definitely need a roster spots because when we're activating these guys, pretty much, you know, activate Manningham, dropping somebody, activating Aldon again, dropping somebody. So this is what's going to happen. And then you're going to talk late November, early December. You're talking about Michael Crabtree. Michael Crabtree just started practicing already. So you are going to see a very, very dangerous San Francisco offense in the near future. It's on like a motherfucker. Like I said, 5-game win streak, all by double digits. And Sunday, our team gets deeper than they were this, you know, just before their bye week. So I'm very fucking excited to see this game and whatnot. Denver at San Diego. Denver's favored by 7.5 points. We know Denver knows how to put up points. I don't think San Diego's going to be able to match those points, but Denver doesn't have the greatest defense in the world. We'll see what that defense allows out of a team like San Diego. And, you know, knowing Denver, they're probably going to allow quite a bit of points. But I got to go with Denver winning this game by more than 7.5. Houston at Arizona. Arizona's favored by 2.5. I got Arizona winning this at home. Houston's just not a good team. I have no confidence in Houston. Dallas at New Orleans. New Orleans is favored by 7.5 at home. Coming off of that loss to the Jets, I think they bounce back, and I think they put Dallas on their ass. They got this game at home against Dallas, followed by a game at home against San Francisco. So I really don't give a fuck what they do. But if they're going to, go in with any kind of momentum, they're definitely going to get back on the upswing up against Dallas because, San Francisco going to their house. If we go in there and we beat the Carolina Panthers at home, we'd be going into New Orleans with a 6-game win streak. So, they don't want to go into the game with us with a 2-game losing streak. It wouldn't be a good look at all. So I got to go with New Orleans. Miami at Tampa Bay. Miami is a struggling team right now, but they're not struggling anywhere near as much as the Tampa Bay Bucks. Miami's favored by 3.5 points. I'm going to go with Miami. Team doesn't win any games. You surely can't put your money on them. It just doesn't make any fucking sense. So that's the games. Let me see. Got Sports Den. Believe they're on tonight. I believe. I don't really remember reading any posts from them tonight. But, yeah, Sports Den, definitely check them out. My dude's over there. Definitely check out Star Nation tomorrow. And my boy's over there at the Wrestling Soup. And they're on 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Eastern time on Thursdays now. So you can check them out at a decent hour. Even if they do a couple hours show, it's not the wee hours of the morning when they're done. So definitely check them out. I'm way behind all these podcasts. I don't like to listen to live podcasts. I like to, work while I listen to these joints on my iPad and stuff, or iPod, I should say. And, that's that. Check me out next week. I'll see what I got going on. Oh, man. I definitely will be reviewing the CZW show next week. I don't give a fuck what I got to do. I will obtain it, and I will review it. So I think that's about it. I'll check you motherfuckers out next week. All right. Let me see. Now I got to find my goddamn outro. All right.
Starting them off, you got a gun, fucking shoot them in the face.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.